Gunderman Group.
Gunderman Group is growing.
Getting in a groove.
Growth is gratifying.
The goal is to grow.
Gotta get greater growth.
I just talked to UPS. They've got expert advice, special discounts, new technologies, like smart pickups. They'll only show up when you print a label, and it's automatic. We save time and money.
Time?
Money?
Time and money.
Awesome.
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 I love logistics.
Partnerships occur when both share a passion for improving, for growing in harmony. Speak from the heart and respect the other. Feeling of being comfortable, of being open, that creates the true partnership, which ensures the greatest success. Together, invest in remarkable Indonesia.
Yo, man, can I ask you a question?
Yeah. What?
Why everybody messing with the Batmans?
See? That's exactly what I've been asking myself.
It don't make no sense.
Why would you do it?
Why would you do that? Why would you try and mess with the Batman?
It's futile.
It is.
Yo, remember Heath Ledger's tried to...
I mean, the Batman's got armor and be knowing some martial arts, some movie things. Slice it. And then ting. Don't worry, I got armor and then martial arts.
Come on.
All you got is a purple suit and some pancake makeup.
Like, come on, man.
I mean, come on, man.
Why would you mess with the Batman?
That's what I'm saying, man.
Oh, remember when Danny DeVito's tried it? Start walking around talking about come on, man.
Key and Peele are here. They are the duo behind the Comedy Central show of the same name. It is a sketch comedy series that finds humor in many places, including African-American culture and race relations in America. Judd Apatow has said these guys are crazy funny. They're smart, satirical, ridiculous, pointless, political, subversive, immature, and important all at the same time. I'm pleased to have Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele at this table for the first time. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
What an honor this is.
What an honor.
Oh, this is Vanity Fair. I'm hardly out, just out, and look what we have here.
Oh,
and
what?
Vanity Fair.
The whole style of that photo shoot was this kind of throwback to old school comedy teams. Yeah. Like, we had a bunch of pictures. Yeah. You can check out the website.
Yeah, and there'll be a picture of us in an actual old Laurel and Hardy setup.
I just want to touch on this. Only because we forget sometimes how many great comedy teams they have, but with you two guys are the latest. The idea of comedy partnerships.
Yeah, there's a sense of, I think, a pattern that humans like. So when you see something that you recognize, there's some comfort in that. But then we do try, as Judd said, to be subversive.
How did it happen? How did you guys get together?
Well, we were brought together by the improvisation community. It was kind of a perfect introduction. I saw him on the Second City ETC stage performing his character, Coach Hines, which he ended up doing on Mad TV. And it was just one of these transcendent performances and characters. And the audience is just dying over every movement of this character. So, and he came to see my troupe, Boom Chicago, the theater in Amsterdam that I belong to, was on the Second City main stage for just a 1 week showing of our show. And he saw my most popular character, who was Uta, the Danish supermodel, who didn't speak English very well. And so we just,
so much brilliance in her ignorance.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Just,
And so what happened? You all of a sudden said, we belong together?
Kind of.
Yeah, well, we went out later that night and went to a diner and spoke about things that we enjoyed, like Monty Python and In Living Color. And, you know, it's seldom that you find... You must be talking to a comedy nerd if a person likes Monty Python and In Living Color.
Exactly.
And so, and then I promptly, I went home later that evening, which would, at that point in time, been the next morning, and woke my wife up and told her, I fell in love with this guy, because we just shared sensibilities. And then by complete serendipity, we ended up on Mad TV at the same time, and then wrote lots and lots of scenes together, so.
Mm-hmm. And Mad TV kind of made it, didn't it? I mean,
That congealed our work. You know what I mean? We started putting together these sketches that we tried to give the best shot possible to get picked to go on air. And so the way we did that was we started choreographing these dances and these full-on, unbridled commitment to these routines, and so they couldn't pass on it.
Yeah. With you two, it's different. I mean, there's not... You don't fill a character. I mean, you fill each other in a different kind of way.
Yeah,
you're just two comedians doing funny skits.
Yeah, we try to be complementary to each other. It's two E's, you know, more than... we try to be complementary, and we try to be complimentary as well.
Yes.
But, so I think that there are times when we see the strength of a character to be played by this guy as opposed to that guy. So it's never a stand.
You're not filling a role.
We're not filling a role, in the team.
Right. Roll tape. This is a clip just during which you play President Obama and Keegan plays Luther. Here we go.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. Now, before I begin... I just want to say that I know a lot of people out there seem to think that I don't get angry. That's just not true. I get angry a lot. It's just that the way I express passion is different from most. So, just so there's no more confusion, we've hired Luther here to be my anger translator. Luther.
Hi.
First off, concerning the recent developments in the Middle Eastern region, I just want to reiterate our unflinching support for all people and their right to a democratic process.
Hey, all y'all dictators out there, keep messing around and see what happens. Just see what happens. Watch.
Also, to the governments of Iran and North Korea, we once again urge you to discontinue your uranium enrichment program.
Hey, Mahmoud, Kim Jong, I think I already done told both y'all, 86 bitches, I'm gonna come over there and do it for y'all. Please test me and see what happens.
On the domestic front, I just want to say to my critics, I hear your voices, and I'm aware of your concerns.
So maybe if you could chill the hell out for like a second, then maybe I can focus on some shit, you know?
And that goes for everybody, including members of the Tea Party.
Oh, don't even get me started on these motherfuckers right here.
I want to assure you that we will be looking for new compromises with the GOP in the months ahead.
And you know these motherfuckers gonna say no before I even suggest some shit.
Now, I know that a lot of folks say that I haven't done a good job at communicating my accomplishments to the public.
Because y'all motherfuckers don't listen!
Since being in office, we've created 3 million new jobs.
3 million new jobs!
We ended the war in Iraq.
Ended a war, y'all! We ended a war! Remember that?
These achievements should serve as a reminder that I am on your side.
I am not a Muslim!
And that my intentions as your president are coming from the right place.
Good. It's really good.
Yeah. That was one of the bits that we knew we had a relevant show when we came up with that one. We knew we had a show that...
Relating to the headlines of the day, so to speak.
Or to current topics. And granted, you know, the current standing president is kind of a gimmicky way to get that. But that was just one way, you know, we felt like that scene was a perfect usage of Keegan and my strengths. And we felt like it was this connection to now, which was needed for us because we have so many sketch and so many comedic ideas that are evergreen. You know, they're sketches that could take, you know, hopefully will be funny in 50 years.
Yeah. Did you say that Luther is like Cory Booker with three Red Bulls?
that sounds like me.
That's always something you said. I've never heard that. Yeah.
Well, Keegan reminds me of Cory Booker.
They
both have a kind of this infectious energy. We haven't had you play Cory Booker.
I haven't played Cory Booker. But that's true.
Yeah, and they're both very. just very open, nice, and honest individuals, from what I can tell.
They are. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, take a look at this. This is where, this is from the new season in which President Obama gives different greetings to white and black members of the press. Here it is.
Thank you, and may God bless America.
Introductions with the chat. Here. This is John O'Rourke.
Nice to meet you, John.
Mr. Ian Roberts.
Nice to meet you.
Peter Tencio.
All right. Nice to meet you.
Jerome Smith.
Come on, brother.
What's up, fam?
You know this.
Keith Williamson.
Nice to meet you.
Mary right. Woodbury.
Nice to meet you.
Jay Martell.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Tasha Robbins.
Come on, come on, come on. Feel that?
Emily right. George.
All right. Nice to meet you.
Daryl Stokes.
Come on. What's up, fam? How you doing?
All right.
Never forget about that, because that's all we got. Nice to meet you. All right. Oh, bring it in, bring it in. Starting from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. All right. Nice to meet you. All right. Nice to meet you.
1/8 black.
Afternoon, my octoroon. Come on, bring it in there. Tuck that.
I'm in there, dog.
You tucking it in there? But you tucked up.
I'm in there.
All right. Nice to meet you, man. Nice to meet you. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. Oh, she is so beautiful. I want another one. There you go. Precious. Beautiful. Beautiful. What's her name?
Oh, this is Livia Ruggie.
Okay. Nice to meet you, Miss Ruggie. All right. Yeah, come on. There he is. Boom. All right, very good to meet you.
All right. Here we go.
It's a very loose piece. Did a lot of these, like Jordan said, these little improvised
little
moments.
Pieces in there, too,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
When the white woman came to hug you. Yeah,
but, you know, Charlie, there's part of that that's based in reality.
Yes.
You know, we got to meet. I can't. It's hard for me to go in and out to say something I want to
say in third person about it. Yeah.
You know, when we met him, you know, he said a couple of things. First of all, he said, you know, I do a pretty good me too. You know, which we thought was funny.
The president says I do a pretty good Obama.
Pretty good Obama too. You know.
How hard was it to capture? You see, easy to. To capture that thing that you have captured?
It wasn't easy, but it took a week of really grinding and just watching and watching and watching. But then once I had it, I had it.
Now, what do you get to have it? Is it the voice? Is it...
It's a voice.
The voice.
It's more than the voice. Yeah. I think I got the voice first, yeah. And, you know, there was still something kind of missing. It was kind of a little bit measured. But then, you know, at some point I got this... the wisdom behind the face that he's putting up, you always kind of know he's on the next plane of negotiation, of social negotiation. And so there's a little something behind the eyes, I think, you know, brought it together.
Yeah.
And it also fed Luther because you see the little bit of a smirk.
There's clearly a subtext that he can't speak. And so then you have Luther be the valve for that. Yeah, yeah.
You see that. Okay, here's another sketch called Substitute Teacher. Here it is.
All right, listen up, y'all. I'm y'all substitute teacher, Mr. Garvey. I taught school for 20 years in the inner city. So don't even think about messing with me. Y'all feel me? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a roll here. Jay Quellen. Where's Jay Quellen at? No Jay Quellen here? Yeah.
Do you mean Jacqueline?
Okay, so that's how it's gonna be. Y'all wanna play. Okay, then. I've got my eye on you, Jay Quellen. Balake. Where is Balake at? There's no Balake here today. Yes, sir.
My name is Blake.
Are you out of your goddamn mind?
Blake?
What? Do you want to go to war, Balake?
No.
Because we could go to war.
No.
I'm for real. I'm for real. So you better check yourself.
Tell me about that.
So our one of our writers, a man by the name of Rich Tellerico, who we've known for 10 years, he wrote on Mad TV, he wrote on SNL, he wrote on The Tonight Show, and he's on our staff, and he wrote this piece, and during a pitch session, he had mentioned the piece to us, and we were like, oh, that's interesting, an interesting idea, and then he just went off and he just wrote it.
Yeah.
So it was a wonderful marriage of just this perfect concept that was put down on paper, and then I had an opportunity to attach a character to it. And I can't remember what was the sketch. We weren't going to put it online. Remember, there was something else, right?
I think, and this, of course, was, you know, is our biggest sketch online, you know, by far.
This one.
So, it resonated, it hit, all the elements came together perfectly.
Yeah.
And, you know, another element in there is it was one of the first sketches that also, in the performing, there's a lot of performance in there that we had to cut to get just, the points of the sketch. But it went off the rails so many times. Him and his conversation with Aaron later, it just went into this improvisational free-for-all. And those moments, when we get that, we really get the best
material. We get the best out of it.
And when you see us having fun.
Yeah. And those kids, another sketch where the other performers in the sketch helped elevate the sketch. They were terrific.
Who writes the material?
There's six writers now. Mm-hmm.
Six writers, yeah.
Ourselves. Mm-hmm. And
so you're still writing?
Oh, yeah.
And two other executive producers, too, that also contribute. Mm-hmm. So technically, it's a staff of six, but there's 10 of us that are always involved in the writing.
I think the most important, contribution that we, you know, besides the sketches that we just, we'll take ourselves and we'll write in their performance pieces, and we know what it is. But, you know, the most important directive for the writing staff is, you know, what can Keegan and I pull off maybe better than anyone doing it on television right now?
Well, Emily Nussbaum, the TV critic of The New York and a very, very good critic, she calls your biracialism a golden ticket to themes rarely explored on television.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Golden ticket.
A golden ticket.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's a ticket that's never been quite expressed, you know, certainly in the ways that we do it. So it feels like the time and the place all converged into this place where we have this president who's mixed. And so all of a sudden, the notion that we have a whole country of mixed kids, biracial kids, kids with...
And growing exponentially every day.
And that's when we got our show at this time, when there's this attention pointed towards this. And I think this understanding that somewhere in, you know, mixed race love is the answer to racial hate somewhere, you know, or the hope that someday we'll have this country and it will all...
Everyone's going to look like us, right? Yeah. So you're going to have to start, you have to wage a different war.
Yeah. What was the president's response? You alluded to it a little bit.
To
the White House.
You know, he said, I need Luther.
Yeah,
I need him. You know, which we thought was amazing that he
helped me get things across.
To us, we were like, oh my gosh!
It was such a satisfying thing because the only person that you really wanted any kind of confirmation about was that person, then there you are at the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. He's going, I need Luther, and you're going, this is amazing. It was surreal.
He got it.
Yeah. He got it.
He got it.
Here's another sketch called Auction Block Slaves. Here it is.
Oh, this? Okay.
$6 on lot A.
$7.
$8.
$9.
$9 going once, twice, three times, sold.
Okay, well, you have to buy that, dude.
It's a no-brainer.
I mean, that guy's huge.
A massive individual.
That's two of me.
Anybody would buy him.
Yeah, I'd buy that dude.
My question is, how'd they catch him?
Next.
Oh, okay.
$2 on lot A.
$2 going once, twice, three times, sold.
See, now that surprises me.
That is interesting to say the least.
I mean, well, it just seems like at a certain point, do they even know what they're looking for?
I mean, like the whole criteria seems just a little inconsistent.
I mean, at some point, I want to be on lot A.
Yeah, can a brother get on lot A?
Next.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Been a pleasure.
Give him hell.
All right.
Okay.
$8 on lot A.
Going once, twice, three times, sold.
How does that happen?
Not true. What you
how
just
does
said,
it happen?
That's gobbledygook. Okay, that can't be true, because what could
look
this dude
him.
Do? Look at him. What could he pick? A cotton plant is like this tall.
Yes.
I'm saying, no offense, brother. I'm just saying.
Offense taken.
What? Am I wrong? Is he not short? He's short. But you are actually short in real life in the world.
You're good, man.
Enough. I will not have my reputation tainted selling superficial bigoted slaves.
Superficial? Did that really just come out of your mouth?
That's it. This auction's over.
Oh, auction's over?
Whoa. No, it ain't over. It's not over. Well, I'm strong, y'all. I'm very strong. I can sleep in a bucket. I'm fast. I got stamina.
I know I don't look it, but
and I know magic.
My worst quality is that I'm a perfectionist.
Have I mentioned this? Docile. I am agreeable to a fault.
Man, who created that?
I wrote that sketch.
Yeah.
I got the idea somehow in my head, the two of us standing next to physically imposing guy, and how that would change the dynamic. And if there's a taboo subject, I'm drawn to it because you know how people are going to react. You know when the first image of that scene comes up, people are going to go, oh, no, and appropriately.
Can I like this?
Can I like this?
Yeah, right.
And appropriately so, you know, it's.
Is it okay for me to laugh?
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and we feel like as jesters, as comedians, part of our job is to bring some light and laughter and relief to, you know, all sorts of things, including some of the greatest atrocities that, you know, we've dealt with. So the mission with that one was to take us from this place of, oh, I'm not going to like this, to, oh, they got me, and not by exploiting victims of slavery.
So the new season, how's it going to be different?
There is...
There's some cosmetic changes, actually, with the new season. We have a brand new main title sequence.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the show has these interstitials where Jordan and I have always been standing on stage in front of an audience. But now the interstitials are the two of us driving across a desert landscape, just having a private conversation in a car. And it happens in every single episode. And there's this kind of thing where it looks as if we're driving from sketch to sketch through this the Mojave.
So no introducing the sketches in front of a live audience
not
at
anymore.
All.
That's gone. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But did you like live audiences? I assume.
Yeah, I mean, we're both live performers. Yeah. Yes,
that's where we come from. But you know, we've both done so much live in our life that we have. You know, people who do a lot of live comedy, you get an audience reaction kind of
in your mind. You know where they're supposed to be laughing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is kind of the right move for us. You know, is to
we do things. The one of the things that we do with sketch is make it as cinematic as possible. So we wanted to kind of not only just parody and copy styles of cinema and genres, but also do it through the entire piece. So, you know, like our main title sequence now looks like True Detective.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know what I mean?
So where did that come from, this homage to HBO's True Detective?
That was weird. I was in Michigan visiting my mother, and him and the other EPs, you guys were just talking about this, and I guess you couldn't stop giggling about this idea that why don't we take something that's really overwrought and gritty and put our stupid faces in it and make it look like one of these main title sequences that you see all the time.
Are we going to see a Hillary Clinton translator?
You know what?
That's interesting.
I don't know how you nailed that.
I don't know how you knew that. Charlie, you're a Svengali. How did you know that?
We do have something in the works.
Anger translation in the works?
We're in the middle of the very fun task of
creating.
Casting our Hillary,
and our anger translator.
Oh, boy, yeah, that'll be something. Won't that be fun?
I think that will be a...
That might be the showstopper there.
Season 4 of Key and Peele is now on Comedy Central. It airs on Wednesday night. Wednesday nights at 10:30. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie, so much.
What a pleasure.
Real
pleasure.
Honor.
Thank you for joining us. See you next time.
From New York City, you're watching Bloomberg Television.
You are watching
Bloomberg Television.
Bloomberg Television.
Did you get that?
Your business requires on-time payroll processing, affordable health benefits, workers' compensation, managing government compliance, and employee performance management. Insperity's Workforce Optimization is a suite of HR services that takes care of all of this and more, helping your company run better, grow faster, and make more money. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Sailing through the heart of cities and landscapes with Viking, you'll see things differently. You'll get closer to iconic landmarks, to local life and cultural treasures. It's a feeling that only a river can give you, that only Viking can give you. Spend less time getting there and more time being there. Viking River Cruises, exploring the world in comfort.
We all have to plan for retirement. But when we start worrying about tomorrow, we miss out on what matters today. At AXA, we offer advice and help you break down your retirement goals into small, manageable steps. Because when you plan for tomorrow, it helps you live for today. Can we help you take a small step? For advice, retirement, and life insurance, connect with AXA.
How do you start your day so you make better investment decisions?
You watch Bloomberg Surveillance to find out what the markets are doing. And you talk to smart people. Bloomberg Surveillance, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Television.
I am so glad that Jen set us up.
Yeah.
So how do you guys know each other?
Jen and I went to summer camp together.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
You know, I never lost a Maccabi.
Oh, whoa.
I know,
watch
right?
out. What's Maccabi, yeah?
Oh, man. I am tired.
You know, I never lost at Maccabi.
Color Wars?
You know what that is?
Yeah, we call it Maccabi, too.
Do you want to go out and grab a drink?
Yes. Do you want to meet my parents?
Yeah, girl. You know, I've been thinking about us. And, I just can't fight it anymore.
And that's how a home and auto bundle is made. Better he learns it here than on the streets.
The miracle of bundling. Now that's progressive.
Before economies grow, before communities thrive and countries prosper, human ingenuity and powerful resources connect, leading the way to remarkable results. It's what clients around the world count on us for every day. It's human capital. Making the world a better place for all of us. That's the power of global connections. That's Bank of America, Merrill Lynch.
Partnerships occur when both share a passion for improving, for growing, in harmony. Speak from the heart and respect the other. A feeling of being comfortable, of being open, that creates the true partnership, which ensures the greatest success. Together, invest in remarkable Indonesia.
I'm Mark Halperin.
And I'm John Heilman. And with all due respect to the 20th anniversary of Pulp Fiction, the next half hour is going to be even tastier than a $5 milkshake. A
Assalamu alaikum, movie fans. Tonight on the show, Rick Perry skips town, Deb Bush skips a generation, the Democratic Party skips out in Kentucky. But first, part two of our Bloomberg Politics Des Moines Register Iowa poll, and a couple of surprises on both sides of the partisan aisle. Mark, what is your lead here?
Probably the bigger story, John, on the Republican side, as you know. Let's take a look at our leaders. This being unveiled at this hour, Bloomberg Politics Des Moines Register Iowa poll. Mitt Romney is first amongst likely caucus goers on the Republican side at 17. Now, he won or basically tied the caucuses last time. That's not a surprise. Big story there, though. Ben Carson at 11%. He is a doctor. He has been to Iowa only rarely. We think this is the first time he's been tested in a serious poll of caucus goers. What do you make of the fact that Ben Carson is at 11%?
Well, first, let's just stipulate that if Ann Romney is telling the truth, Mitt Romney is not running. This is really a wide open race. There is a big Tea Party contingent in Iowa, and they are always looking for a candidate. Right now, Ben Carson is that guy.
You got to think if you're Rick Santorum or Mike Huckabee, and you're behind. Now, you know, Huckabee's at 9, margin of error. But still, for Ben Carson, who's not ever run for office before, to be at 11% is a big deal. People are going to look at that. Further down in the poll, though, look at this. Two guys, Chris Christie and Jeb Bush. They are the establishment favorites right now. Those are two guys. One, Christie, people think is almost certainly running. I'm hearing more and more that Jeb Bush is leaning towards running. They are at 6 and 4. What explains those two guys down low? And were they going to have trouble being the establishment favorites if they're so weak in Iowa?
Well, yes, and really striking there. Jeb Bush has, in our poll, high favorables, low unfavorables, but really well known, but apparently not in sync with the Iowa Party. Chris Christie is underwater in terms of his favorable and unfavorable. He is apparently not liked in Iowa, which is a different thing.
The main thing, though, to look at this is it is a huge jump ball.
Sure.
Romney's taken up a lot of space, a lot of excitement about him in Iowa late as he's been campaigning with Joni Ernst and others. But for Ben Carson to be second, people are going to get a lot of attention. And a lot of our colleagues don't put him on their polls, either national horse race polls or key state polls. I bet people are going to start including him. We're certainly going to keep including him.
All right, let's look at the Democratic side. How about that? Okay, here we go. On the Democratic side, not a big surprise. Hillary Clinton, far and away the front runner in Iowa. Elizabeth Warren, the only other candidate in double digits, and she's only barely in double digits. Joe Biden, John Kerry down below her. A little more striking is another piece of the finding that we have in the poll, which is going to come up right now, which we asked voters, who shares their values more, Hillary Clinton or Elizabeth Warren? Here, Hillary Clinton's still at 52, but Elizabeth Warren doubles her score, more than doubles her score, pops up high. What does that mean for Hillary Clinton? Is that a problem?
Political beliefs, right? We invented this question for this poll because we thought it's interesting to say a lot of people in Iowa, Iowans are pretty sophisticated. They like to pick the front runner, the person who's going to win. Elizabeth Warren, she's still way behind, but the fact that a quarter of Iowa Democrat, likely caucus goers, say their beliefs are closer to Elizabeth Warren. To me, it says that if there is a populist candidate, if there is someone more like Elizabeth Warren, less centrist, they can give Hillary Clinton some trouble in Iowa. Somebody who got a quarter of the vote against Hillary Clinton, that'd be a huge problem.
You dig a little deeper in the poll, you find Hillary Clinton, her foreign policy is not a problem with Iowa Democrats, but her closeness to Wall Street is.
That's right.
Okay, we'll have more about that poll later on the show and on BloombergPolitics.com and the DesMoinesRegister.com as well.
All right. Major development in the Kentucky Senate race tonight. The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee is pulling its television advertisement in support of Allison Lundgren Grimes in the Bluegrass State. This comes after Grimes has faced days of derision for her unwillingness to say whether or not she voted for Barack Obama for president. Earlier today, before the DSCC announcement, there was some White House briefing tomfoolery on the matter.
You boldly said you voted for the president. Now, I assume that was in 2008 and 2012? Bold twice?
I've been a longtime supporter.
Do you believe you have violated the sanctity of the ballot box by telling us who you voted for? Have you broken any constitutional privilege?
I'll leave that for you guys to decide.
So Josh Earnest and his favorite reporter, John Carl, joking it up there. Not a great laughing day for Grimes.
Right.
Private Democratic polls have not showed this race as competitive as, say, Georgia.
Right.
Certainly Kansas, another place Democrats hope to maybe save a seat or get a seat. So is this the end of the Grimes campaign that they're pulling out these ads, or does she still have a chance?
As my favorite Pulp Fiction character, Butch Coolidge, played by Bruce Willis, says, Zed is dead, baby, Zed is dead. And Zed, in this case, is Allison Lundgren Grimes. The joke up there was, of course, in the debate last last night that she invoked her constitutional rights to the secret ballot in order to say, again, why she wouldn't say whether she voted for President Obama. Another bad performance by her last night. I think it's all over now.
This is where the committee start making choices with 3 weeks ago about where they're going to spend their money. Look to see if Republicans maybe start spending money in Minnesota, a state that's getting closer. Always there's some natural tightening there in that state. It's seen as a blue state, but is a little bit purple. And let's see what happens now in places like North Carolina, places like Arkansas. Let's see how the money starts to be spent as we come down to the home stretch here. Yep. A lot of tough choices to make. All right, President Obama's focus today in his one public event was ISIS. He held a photo op this afternoon with military leaders from almost two dozen countries, as well as his own national security team, to figure out the way ahead there against ISIS. Here's what the president said at that meeting at Andrews Air Force Base.
As with any military effort, there will be days of progress and there are going to be periods of setback. But our coalition is united behind this long-term effort.
All right. So on the one hand, he's talking about the coalition being united. On the other hand, he's talking about moments of setback.
Yeah.
Is this coalition built? Was this a meeting of a built coalition? Or does the president still have to cajole to get this group working together?
Oh, there's a lot of cajoling left to do. And there's still big questions just about this, about how good a partner Iraq will be. You know, when President Obama decided we were going to start bombing in Syria and take on ISIS fully, he said, well, now the reason we were waiting was this had nothing to do with the beheading. This had everything to do with the fact we were waiting for a new government in Iraq. Now we have a new government. Well, that was only 7 days after they had a new government. And now it looks like things are a little troubled there. You have some reporting on that.
Yeah, what we're hearing here at Bloomberg in our Washington Bureau and up here is people in the intelligence committees on the Hill, people at the Pentagon have always been skeptical that the new Iraqi government would be able to stand up in time to deal with this and that the Iraqi militias are going to be strong enough. A lot of skepticism that they can have the boots on the ground in time. The airstrikes are not enough to do it. And if the Iraqi forces can't get up, if this government's not better than the Maliki government, it's a big problem for this mission. There'll be more than just a few setbacks if that's the case.
This,
a lot of worry.
This could be very ugly over the next few weeks as a political issue and as a military issue.
Yep.
All right. You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Europe?
What do they call a quarter pounder?
Well, a Grand Royale, a Royale with cheese. Rick Perry probably knows the answer to that question. He's across the pond this week. The bad news for him is that, well, he's talking about foreign policy, and we're going to look at it right now.
The victims of jihad today have far more in common with you and with me than they ever will have with their tormentors. And when they look up, and they see an RAF or a Danish or an American bomber, they feel precisely as you and I would feel. The sight must seem like the answer to a prayer.
I said it was bad news for Rick Perry, but he looked pretty good up there to me. Is that a new Rick Perry we're seeing out there on the stump?
It's not. You know, if you spend time around Rick Perry, as I have, as you have, you see that guy, serious and somber, not goofy, a lot like George Bush during the height of the fight against terrorism. Rick Perry is trying to remake his image. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I think that Rick Perry, on a prepared text overseas, he is trying to convince people to think anew about him. It's uphill. I meet people all the time who say, no way,
totally
won't
impossible.
Think anew about him. But that Rick Perry, he's a veteran, he's serious on national security, and he's darn serious about trying to run for president in a more serious and deliberate way than he did last
time. You've used the word serious like six times just now. We're going to see a little side of Rick Perry. He's not totally serious all the time.
To Americans, you British always sound so darn smart and refined no matter what you're saying. And it's not just because of your many cultural exports, from James Bond to Julie Andrews to Simon Cowell to One Direction. Well, that might be a bit of a mixed bag there, but
I would have never made Rick Perry as a One Direction fan, but you know.
I love the serious Rick Perry. Love that Rick Perry too.
Even more.
A little goofy. All right. As the world waits for Jeb Bush to decide about 2016, there was a series of special moments out on the Texas campaign trail today. Papa Jeb helping out his son, George P. Bush, who's running for the land commissioner job in the Lone Star State, which is a big job. They made several stops, including in Abilene and Fort Worth. John, what significance to 2016 does George P's bid for elective statewide office in Texas have?
Well, first of all, he is a star. And everyone you talk to down in Texas, even the most liberal Democrats, acknowledge that George P. Bush is a rising star in the party, in the Republican Party, rising star in Texas politics. It can't be anything but good for his father if he ends up getting elected. It looks like he's probably going to win that race.
Be one of the best offspring surrogates the presidential campaign has had
terrific.
In a long time.
Especially for a Republican Party that needs to expand its reach to Hispanic voters.
No question.
Yeah, for sure. All right, coming up. Our Iowa Poll of Dreams awaits.
Bloomberg's With All Due Respect is brought to you by Koch Industries. Learn more at KochCareers.com.
Koch Industries started in the heartland, and we've expanded to nearly every state. Today, that's more than 60,000 American jobs. You may not always see our name on the products you use, but we help make better food, clothing, shelter, technologies, and other necessities. Here, we build on each other's ideas to create more opportunities for people everywhere. Together, we are Coke.
Gunderman Group.
Gunderman Group is growing.
Getting in a groove.
Growth is gratifying.
The goal is to grow.
Gotta get greater growth.
I just talked to UPS. They've got expert advice, special discounts, new technologies, like smart pickups. They'll only show up when you print a label, and it's automatic. We save time and money.
Time? Money?
Time and money.
Awesome.
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 I love logistics.
Go ahead and put your bag right here. Have a nice flight.
Coming your way. But when you've got an entire company who knows that the most on-time flights are nothing if we can't get your things there too, it's no wonder more people choose Delta than any other airline.
Introducing the new and improved Bloomberg app for your iPhone and iPad. Financial markets change even when you're away from your desk. Bloomberg gives you a snapshot of what's moving, plus breaking news, video, and sophisticated portfolio management tools. Download the free Bloomberg application and stay ahead wherever you are. Also available on Android, BlackBerry, and Windows Phone.
In the words of the great Jules Winfield, it's time for us to walk the earth and meet people. That's what we did in our Bloomberg Politics Des Moines Register Iowa poll. The latest installment is so exciting that it's all we've been talking about since it came out 13 minutes ago. Here to dive into some conversation, speculation, and prognostication are Bloomberg View's Al Hunt and Jennifer Jacobs from our new partner, the Des Moines Register. Al, let's start on the Republican side with you. The horse race here, Mitt Romney way ahead. Ben Carson at number two, Rand Paul at number three, and Chris Christie and Jeb Bush bringing up the far rear. Talk about what you found interesting in those numbers.
Well, what it really shows is how wide open this race is. We've never seen anything quite like it, John. If Ann Romney is right, Mitt's not going to run, then it's totally wide open. I also don't think his numbers are all that impressive at 17%. What really strikes me, though, is Jeb Bush down at, 4%? It's just such a gap between the establishment and the rank and file. Chris Christie does terribly, too.
You know Ben Carson a little bit, Al. Talk about, the big surprise of this poll is him up there in that second place. If you add in the second choices, he's even higher. Talk about what you think are his strengths and his potential weaknesses.
First, a personal note, John. He operated on my son, so I know him very well. He is every bit as good as his reputation, one of the great pediatric neurosurgeons ever in the history of the world. I think his appeal is that he is a genuine outsider, number one. People hate Washington. Secondly, there's a certain niche in Republican conservative circles for an African-American conservative. It was Herman Cain 4 years ago, Alan Keyes before that. This guy's so much smarter than they are and so much more authentic. So I think he's got a charming, low-key manner about him. Of course, I will say this. Politics may not be brain surgery, but he's never been in politics before, and that's going to ultimately trip him up.
Very striking. We have this graphic up here. Ben Carson with 28% of the self-identified Tea Party voters in Iowa. We know the Tea Party is very strong there, and so that gives him a real base to work with. He's also not very well-known.
That's with his first and second choices, 28%. Right. Jennifer, let me ask you quickly about Carson and then turn to the Democrats. He's only been there a few times, once this year, I think. Does he have a following in Iowa that this poll suggests?
Yeah, he does. The Republicans I talked to said they really like his straightforward style of telling the way like it is. They also just like the fact that he's got this kind of up from the bootstraps story to tell. They find that very compelling. And like Al said, Republicans here really do like to be able to say, to be perceived as all welcoming. They want to be all welcoming of any Republican, and Ben Carson allows them to check the boxes on that.
All right, Jeffrey, let's switch over to the Democratic race. The horse race number is really not that surprising. Hillary Clinton with a big lead, 53%, and everybody else back. Elizabeth Warren, the only other one in double digits. But we also asked a question about whose views do you more identify with? Who better represents your views between Hillary Clinton and Elizabeth Warren? And there, the race is tighter. Hillary Clinton doubles Elizabeth Warren in that number, but still a tighter race. Does that suggest to you that if someone, probably not Elizabeth Warren, I would guess, but if some Democratic populist comes forward, there it is, 52-26%. If some Democratic populist comes forward, do Iowa Democrats want someone else in the race who maybe is closer to Elizabeth Warren on the left than Hillary Clinton, more towards the center?
Hillary Clinton has such a huge lead. That's the biggest thing out of this poll. There's always some wiggle room. Iowa Democrats are always willing to look at someone else. I mean, you look back at 2008 during that cycle, and at this point in time then, everyone was presuming that Hillary Clinton was going to be the nominee, and then you had this upstart Barack Obama come in. So you can never tell.
So, Jennifer, the president's numbers, the current president's numbers in Iowa, favorable, unfavorable, much worse than Bill Clinton's. And we asked the same Democrats, again, likely caucus goers on the Democratic side, which would Hillary Clinton be more like as president, her husband or Barack Obama? Overwhelmingly, they said her husband. Presumably, that's a big source of her strength there for Iowa Democrats who like the 42nd president more than the 44th at this point.
Right. I think they're hoping that a Clinton presidency would be more like, you know, her husband's than Obama's. They're a little bit disillusioned with some of the things that are happening in the Obama administration right now, and they're looking for something fresh, different path.
Al, let me bring that question back to you, the same question that Mark just asked Jennifer. Hillary Clinton should take some solace, obviously, in that number that people think of her, expect her to be more like her husband than Barack Obama. Republicans are obviously going to try to paint her as a continuation of Obama. Do you think she'll be able to maintain that going forward?
Well, I do, John. I think that's an asset for her now. But ultimately, she's going to have to be not going back to 1998, but going forward to 2018. So it's a good credential to start with, but it's not going to be sufficient.
There's one other thing that really jumps out on the Democratic side and the Hillary Clinton, related to Hillary Clinton in the poll, Al, which is that a fair number of Iowa Democrats seem to feel as though her ties to Wall Street are not an asset for her, but they are a liability. Talk about that and how serious a problem you think that might be for her in Iowa and elsewhere.
It was interesting, John, because her interventionist policies, Libya right. and Iraq and so forth, are actually supported there. But Wall Street, a plurality, said that really bothers them. She's too close to Wall Street. And I think some Democrat, the type that John mentioned earlier, Mark mentioned earlier, it's not likely to be Elizabeth Warren, but someone is going to find that a soft spot, I think.
All right. Al Hunt of Bloomberg View and Jennifer Jacobs of the Des Moines Register, thank you very much. We'll see you both later. Up next, we have ourselves some Coke and a smile. Tim Phillips of Americans for Prosperity is here.
Bloomberg's With All Due Respect is brought to you by BP, proud to be America's largest energy investor.
When folks think about what they get from Alaska, they think salmon and energy. But the energy BP produces up here creates something else as well. Jobs all over America. Engineering and innovation jobs, advanced safety systems and technology, shipping and manufacturing. Across the United States, BP supports more than 250,000 jobs. When we set up operation in one part of the country, people in other parts go to work. That's not a coincidence. It's one more part of our commitment to America.
These are the tennis shoes
Whoa.
That got torture tested by teenagers and cried out for help from the surprise designers who came to the rescue with a brilliant fix.
I love it.
Which created thousands of new customers for the tennis shoes that got torture tested by teenagers. The Internet of Everything is changing manufacturing. Is your network ready?
Coke Industries started in the heartland, and we've expanded to nearly every state. Today, that's more than 60,000 American jobs. You may not always see our name on the products you use, but we help make better food, clothing, shelter, technologies, and other necessities.
Here, we build on each other's ideas to create more opportunities for people everywhere. Together, we are Coke.
Only Bloomberg Television has the interviews you want to hear.
One of the fascinating things about Twitter is that once you get it, it becomes indispensable to you.
My eyes were all created equal.
Online, on your tablet, and on your phone. Bloomberg Television, wherever you are.
Our guest tonight is Tim Phillips. For almost three decades, he's helped Republican campaigns for Congress, governor, and president of these United States. He is now himself Mr. President of Americans for Prosperity, the main political organ associated with Charles and David Koch. And just to be clear, the Koch brothers' private business conglomerate, Koch Industries, is one of several sponsors of this program and of our website. But while Mr. Phillips works for the Kochs, we do not. Chances are they wouldn't hire us even if we applied to work there. Tim Phillips, welcome.
Don't sell yourself short. Well, you never know.
You never know. So you run one of the biggest political organizations in America as part of the extended Koch brothers family of political organizations.
Right.
Tell people just how the scale of your organization for the midterms. How many people? How much money?
Sure. We have over 500 staff on the ground in priority states across the country. And we have a budget. You know, the published reports show well over $100 million this calendar year. We do issue groups across the board, but we are expressly advocating the defeat of these Democrat senators and hoping to make Harry Reid a past majority leader.
So no one, or at least no one I know sensible, begrudges the Koch brothers' First Amendment right to participate in politics. Why don't we hear more directly from them about their values, what they care about, who they are, given that they're such big players in our political system now?
I think they've been pretty open about that. I think Charles has done op-eds in the Wall Street Journal, the
USA
Today.
But people don't see them. They don't see them on shows like this. They don't see them out at political events, interacting with other people in a way that makes them kind of mysterious to a lot of people, and maybe people mistrust them more. Why don't they come out and talk to them?
I'm not going to try to answer for them, but I'll say that their views are widely known by anyone who looks, and certainly through their business endeavors, philanthropic endeavors, and yes, in the political arena, their political endeavors, I think their views are well known, certainly.
You guys have become, in the course of this cycle and previous cycles, but much more in this cycle, have become an issue in a lot of campaigns. Democrats,
right.
Harry Reid very vocally, and other Democrats attack the Koch empire,
sure.
as it were. How does that create, what kinds of particular challenges does that create, being the largest and obviously most demonized outside force in the midterm elections?
Well, it requires discipline from us, frankly. We've got to stay on message and not get off on defending personalities or individuals, and we've got to stay focused on, here are the issues that we want inserted and focused on these campaigns. Obamacare's failure, government spending out of Washington, et cetera. So I think for us, it requires a lot of discipline to make sure we don't go chase every barking dog and instead focus on what our message is. And I think that's the biggest thing. And we'll let voters decide whether or not they think that's a real issue or if they think the utter failure of the other side's economic policies is the issue.
But do you think it's legitimate for them for your to be injected, for the way that those tactics are used against you? You think that's legitimate or you think you shouldn't be fair game?
I think that it's certainly their right to try it, absolutely, and it's something that they have to do tactically because the issue environment doesn't favor them this year, and every poll shows that. So they've probably got nowhere else to go. I've been there. I was in the private sector running campaigns at one point, and there are times when you just got to go, wait a minute. The issue environment is really bad. We better distract some people.
You say the issue environment's bad. They're for minimum wage. Isn't that a popular issue? You all...
Yeah, but most folks know that minimum wage is not something that's happening.
Well,
it's a dysfunction,
it's
record.
But it's a fact that every public opinion poll shows that people generally like an increase in the minimum
right.
wage. So that's at least one issue they have on their side, correct?
But what voters are thinking about this year is whether or not President Obama's economic agenda has worked for them. And it hasn't. They've decided. That's clear. That's why the left is focusing on the Kochs and other things. And it's the best they can do. That's what I mean by issue environment. It's the failure of this administration's economic policy.
So you and your allies have pretty much failed in two cycles in a row in terms of winning back the Senate, winning the White House.
I think 2010 went pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
I hear anyway. I don't remember exactly. Maybe we should refresh my memory on how that went in the House.
In terms of winning back the Senate and in terms of the White House, mm-hmm. in that sense. If you and your allies don't win Republican control of the Senate this cycle, what will have been the reasons?
That's a really good question. I think that the other side runs a very good turnout operation, and they are good at class warfare. That's something they do well. I don't like it because I think it's wrong, but they're good at that. They're good at stoking resentment and envy, and we have struggled on our side. I think Mitt Romney struggled dramatically in 2012, but we did as well at Americans for Prosperity. I think they will have stoked that. But I do think the biggest success this year for Republicans, I think back to 10 and 12 on the Senate front, they could only put about 5 or 6 seats really in play by the time you got to Labor Day. This year, I would argue there are 11 Democrat seats in play. That means the math does favor Republicans a bit more this year. They don't have to win every race. They can have a blow up in this state or that. And I also think, for whatever reason, Republican primary voters picked better candidates this time. I really do believe that.
If there was a move in Congress for greater, if we had another move for campaign finance reform, we see that every once in a while, right? If in the next cycle, which there will be one inevitably, if people were to propose the notion of greater disclosure for donors, would your organization be in favor of that or against it?
Absolutely not. I when you look at the abuses of the IRS from this administration, the most feared regulatory agency in America today, I think that gives a lot of people pause. So we would not favor that. I think the proof's in the pudding. And by the way, Republicans have done this over the decades as well. Nixon did this. There have been times where both parties, I don't mean this as a partisan attack. Republicans have done it too. But this administration systematically tried to use the IRS to silence opponents, and that has a chilling effect. So we would not favor disclosure given the record of the left on this.
Quickly, because we've just got a little time left. We've got a poll out tonight looking at how Iowa Republicans look at the potential presidential field. Mike Pence, who's someone who you know well, very close to, is not doing particularly well. That's mostly name ID, I think. Would Mike Pence be a good president? Would he be amongst your first choices?
I really have a lot of respect for Mike Pence. His record in both the House and as governor have been very good. You know, a lot of guys talk a good game when the Republicans were in power in 3, 4, 5, 6. You look at Pence's record in the House, that guy actually voted free market across the board, even resisting his own party leadership on a consistent basis. But it's a long way till 2016.
But Phillips likes Pence.
I do, but I like a lot of these guys. I think Scott Walker's a great governor. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of good guys. Rand Paul's interesting on economic issues.
Very, very quickly, you guys plan to be a bigger player in 2016 than you were in 2012, or just about as big?
This is a long-term effort. I can guarantee that. It's a long-term effort.
Bigger in 16.
It's a long-term effort. I would suspect we'll continue growing if we do our job. But we got to keep doing our job.
All right, Tim Phillips, president of Americans for Prosperity, thanks very much. Appreciate you coming in, and we'll be right back.
Bloomberg's With All Due Respect is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, engineering some of the most advanced vehicles on the road today.
Decay. It's the opposite of evolution. The absence of improvement and the enemy of perfection. Which is why you can never stop moving forward. Never stop inventing. Introducing the Mercedes-Benz GLA. A breakthrough in design, aerodynamics, and engineering. Because the only way to triumph over decay is to leave it in its own dust.
Perceptions change and evolve. In a recent Bloomberg Audience Insights report, more and more IT decision makers evaluated Android as a secure platform for large-scale business operations. In the survey, 72% of IT decision makers said they had deployed an Android device as part of a bring-your-own-device initiative. Among them, more than 9 in 10 had deployed an Android device from Samsung. One reason they trust Samsung Android devices is the Knox security platform. 79% believe Knox is extremely or very useful for application security, with 78% mirroring that sentiment for malware protection. Samsung is in the unique position to offer security that is deeply rooted in hardware and constantly moves forward to help business realize the full potential of mobility.
We are righteous men beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. And we are live 24/7 on BloombergPolitics.com.
Our full Bloomberg Politics Des Moines Register Iowa poll, plus accompanying stories on the poll by Margaret Taleb, Jonathan Allen, and Mike Bender are all on our website right now. Plenty to dig into on that poll.
Brilliant stories.
You can read a lot about it all over the place. Thanks for watching. We'll be back here again tomorrow. Taking Stock is coming up right here on Bloomberg TV.
partnerships occur when both share a passion for improving, for growing in harmony. Speak from the heart and respect the other. Feeling of being comfortable, of being open, that creates the true partnership, which ensures the greatest success.